Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the September 28th meeting of the Broward County Planning Council. I'd like to ask everyone to please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance and ask Richard Rosenzweig to please lead us in the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you and good morning. Ms. Cavender, can you please take, call the roll?
Yes, sir. Mr. Brian Blackwelder.
Here.
Commissioner Richard Blattner. Commissioner Felicia Reinstrom.
Here.
Commissioner Angelo Castillo.
Here.
Mr. Thomas H. DiGiorgio Jr.
Here.
Mayor Bill Gans. Commissioner Michelle J. Gomez.
Good morning.
School Board Member Patricia Good.
Here.
Ms. Mary D. Graham.
Here.
Mr. Richard Grosso.
Here.
Mr. David Rosenau. Mr. Richard Rosenzweig.
Here.
Mayor Michael J. Ryan. Mayor Jack Seiler.
Here.
Commissioner Michael Udine. Commissioner Beverly Williams.
Here.
Mayor Daniel J. Sturmer, Chair.
Here. Good morning and thank you all. We have on the consent agenda, is there any items to be pulled from the consent agenda? Is there a motion with regard to the consent agenda, including requests for excused absences by Commissioner Richard Blattner, Mayor Bill Gans, and Mayor Mike Ryan?
Second.
There was a motion by School Board Member Good, second by Mr. DiGiorgio. All those in favor signify aye on the consent agenda.
Aye.
All those opposed, the motion carries unanimously. We are now on to the regular agenda. Mr. Morotis, under R1, Council's report.
No report today, Mr. Chair.
Glad to see we're back to normal. R2 is the Executive Director's report, and before the Executive Director starts, we all know when we come to these meetings in the back there, we've got some refreshments for us before the meeting. Those are self-funded. Those are not necessarily provided to us by the staff, so if you'd like to provide in the assistance to keep our refreshments going, there's a jar back there. Please feel free to make a deposit into it so we can continue to provide that courtesy to everybody. So please just be mindful of that. Ms. Blake Boy.
Good morning. Thank you. I hope everyone is doing well. I know many of you are very busy after the hurricane and just working through all of your municipal issues and the county issues, and I'm glad to see everyone here today and glad that we could be able to hold the meeting. As I mentioned in my previous email, in consultation with Mayor Sturmer, we did take some of the items that were previously scheduled for the September meeting and move those forward to the October agenda. That includes the update of the administrative rules document, the companion document to the Broward County Land Use Plan with updated Broward Next. So that will be considered at next month's meeting, and then also the cleanup items of anything that we either left out of Broward Next or needed to be clarified as part of Broward Next. Those amendments will also move forward at the October meeting, and those will be considered by the committees prior to the full Planning Council meeting that day. In addition, there were a couple of items, action items, that we had requested after the August meeting. One of them was the polling for the combined November-December meeting dates. We've received 9 responses. Right now, I have a November 30th as the leader with 7 members able to attend and only 4 for December 7th. We had just a little bit more than what would we have what would make a quorum with those 9 respondents, but I don't know how you all want to proceed with setting that date. The only reason I'm kind of pushing setting the date is because our partners at MIT and the University of Toronto have asked us to serve on the jury for their graduate class in December, and they're trying to finalize their meeting date so that I can fly up to Toronto to so they can finish their class at the end of the semester. So I leave that at the pleasure of the board.
If you haven't responded yet and a significant number of the members haven't, please do so we can lock that date down. Or we can just, you know, let's do a show of hands now.
November 30th or December 7th?
Right. Okay, well, let me do this. All those who would prefer the meeting be held on November 30th, please raise your hand. All of those that would prefer that it be held on December 7th, please raise your hand. All of those that it doesn't matter to, please raise your hand. Okay. But it's clear that there's more for November 30th, so let's move it to November 30th. This way we're not pushing it back forward or backward too far from a normal date, so let's go with November 30th, and the vice chair will chair that meeting because I'm on a panel out at the American Bankruptcy Institute Leadership Conference out in Palm Springs that week, so I won't be here that morning. Yeah, it's one of the tougher things I need to do right after Thanksgiving is go to Palm Springs, so. Thank you for that. Mr. Grasso?
Then we do not, or we do have an October?
We still have an October meeting. That date is the fourth Thursday, the 26th.
Right, so this is about combining November and December, understanding our normal meeting in December bumps into the holidays.
Right, it would be Thanksgiving and Christmas, so we combine the meeting.
Right, Mayor Seiler?
Yeah, sir, deadline for submission of our comments on the next document?
Quickly, as soon as possible.
On the next, which document?
Probably not.
Oh, right, so that was actually the next item. So also in the emails was a follow-up from our August discussion. In your backup materials for August, there were comments that were received from planning council members regarding changes that they would like to see in the land use plan as a result of Broward Next. At the last meeting, Mayor Sturmer asked that the members provide their written comments. So I sent out a Word document, support, like it was like support, not support, no change. I don't remember the wording that we used. As of today, I received 3 responses to that. So that's one of the reasons why we'll be talking about that at the October meeting. So I'll send all of that information out again today. And then ask you to respond by Monday, October 9th, so that I can put that together for the materials that go out to you the following week on October 17th.
Appreciate it. And really, it follows up the conversation we had here last month. So it's pretty important that it sort of then sets the course of what may come back to us for further action based upon the responses we receive.
Based on the responses, the council would make a decision on initiating any other amendments to the plan. So that's with the materials. And as Andy had also mentioned at last month's meeting, we will attach any written correspondence that we received in this regard to the minutes of that meeting, of the October meeting, so that it's a part of the public record so people can see, because you didn't have an extensive discussion about it here at the meeting, but providing the written comments. So we'll make that part of the permanent record.
Appreciate it.
Okay, great. I think with that, I feel bad. I just got a text from Mr. Rosenoff that he's parking.
Okay. He'll be here.
And what I'm about to say is we have 2 public hearing agenda items. Maybe this is him. We have 2 public hearing agenda items, and we only have speakers for questions only on both of those items.
Okay. Before we begin the public hearing, I know School Board Member Good has something to say.
I can make the comment under PH2 if you'd like.
Depending on what happens if there's a motion to approve them both, so I'm not sure how you want to go about doing it.
So just with regard to PH2, Amendment PC 1715, the property is currently owned by Broward County School Board. It's under contract purchase by an entity. And since the amendment is before us, impacts the school district, I spoke with council. There's no personal gain on my part, but in an abundance of caution, I will avoid participating and fill out the necessary form for conflict of interest.
Appreciate that. And Ms. Cavender will reflect that Mr. Rosenoff is here. Is there a motion with regard to PH1 and PH2?
I'll move PH1 and PH2.
Moved by Mr. DiGiorgio, seconded by Commissioner Vice Mayor Castillo.
One recuse.
And an abstention from with regard to PH2 by School Board Member Good.
They're both together, so I'd have to.
Well, right, but specifically it's with regard to PH2.
You're noting that you have not voted and have abstained at item number 2.
Item number 2, right. You're voting in the affirmative on item number 1.
Can you just do that?
That's absolutely. Not a problem.
I'll move PH1.
There was a motion by Mr. DiGiorgio, seconded by Vice Mayor Castillo with regard to PH1. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Discussion, Mr. Blackalder.
I'm concerned on. Policy sense in the backup.
Is your mic on, sir?
Thank you. The
proposal goes from commercial to residential. And in our materials, on page 3 at the bottom of attachment 6, the Environmental Protection and Growth Management Department comments, the county strongly discourages those amendments which would place additional residential and non-residential development at risk of flooding from sea level rise. And sea level rise is a concern at this location. I'm not advocating one way or another on approval in this, but I don't know at what point our denial of something that is a change from commercial, which is a non-residential use, into a residential use, which would put people in harm's way more, informs our decision making. And I would think some explanation of the sea level rise approach that the staff, because the staff is recommending approval, maybe there is some way to enlighten me how to apply something is perplexing as making a choice at this nature.
Absolutely. Just in response to the specific question, this item is the second public hearing. This was considered at last month's meeting also. Our recommendation, based on the strongly discouraged, actually, we rely a lot on the county staff. And at the point that we were reviewing this land use plan amendment, the initial comments were not to support the land use change. The applicant and the county staff, Jennifer Hurado, and the they worked with that staff to provide the information and the coordination with the city regarding sea level rise policies and how the site would be constructed. They were able to, at the end, support the project. If we have comments from them that says that they do not support the land use change based on the policy and the information that they have, that certainly weighs in on our decision. And the at the point that we only have that, that would be a decision point where we would say a recommendation for denial because it's not meeting the policies in the plan. I can see if the applicant wants to add anything with regarding their coordination with that division, but that would be the decision-making point for staff.
So it's more that expertise of the staff of the county than some input from us, because we're basically doing just a paperwork review of
it. Well, we're doing the analysis, right? So if we have something that says that we don't support the amendment and we're seeing that it's not meeting the policy, because at that point they're saying it's not meeting the policies in the county plan, that's an easy stopping point for us to say that we would make a recommendation for denial.
But as we sit here today, is it meeting the plan?
Yes, and absolutely, and that's in attachments 17 and 18.
Just making sure. Ms. Miskell, is there anything you'd like to say? Good morning.
Good morning, Bonnie Miskell here on behalf of the petitioner. I think what you're reading is where we started, and through negotiations and coordination, both from on behalf of the owner and the city, we were able to provide, and the city adopted some policies that would address the original concern, so the concern is no longer there. We've just come off of Irma, and we understand the negative impacts on sea level rise. Certainly, Florida knows that now. What's come out of this, actually, is a policy adoption that will help to resolve problems that exist out there today as well. So I think we've addressed what their original concern was, and hence the change in the recommendation.
Since we have you here, could you briefly recap what the property is that I see sea level, seawall heightening, and what is it that you're doing to the site that has made it?
Well, actually, I think what the city did, and this is more of a city initiative as far as how they're going to address sea level going forward. Prior to this, they had not adopted policies. So now they've adopted policies that aren't necessarily simply applicable to this site, but could be applicable across the entire city water areas or waterfront areas. But in our case, yes, we're the actual drainage systems that are going to be designed and implemented here, as well as the seawall and things like that, are ways to address the potential impacts from sea level rise.
Will you be specifically falling under the Corps of Engineers study that's coming out in December about the seawalls?
That I couldn't tell you. Do we know that, Tara? I'm going to ask Jean Dolan to come up. She's actually here on behalf of the city. She may be able to speak specifically to that. Thanks, Jean.
Yes, Jean Dolan, City of Pompano Beach. The city is actively involved in the Corps study, and that's one of the commitments that we made with the county through this process, that we will be working with the county based on whatever the Corps recommends in terms of the proper height of seawalls. This is something that has to be adopted countywide. There also needs to be a deadline for when all existing seawalls have to be raised to that elevation, which is a critical date and also is going to have great financial impacts on all development, existing and proposed. So that's another thing that we made a commitment to.
So it will apply to this project as whether it's proposed or existing by the time it gets built, the
yes,
Corps
exactly.
would under your understanding of it.
That's right.
Okay.
Any other comments with regard to Mr. Blackwell? Do you don't know?
No, I'm done.
You have your lips pursed like you're about to say something else.
No, that's good. I always have plenty to say, but I'll
just want to make
sure. There.
Any other comments with regard to PH1? There was a motion by Mr. DiGiorgio, second by Vice Mayor Castillo. All those in favor of PH1 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion carries unanimously. Is there a motion with regard to PH2, understanding the abstention of school board member Good, moved by Mr. DiGiorgio, seconded by Commissioner Gomez? Any discussion with regard to PH2? Commissioner Williams?
No,
I'm sorry. Ms. Cavender showed as Commissioner Williams, not Commissioner Gomez. I'm sorry. My apologies. Any further discussion with regard to item PH2, recognizing the abstention of school board member Good? We'll just keep saying that so it's clear. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion carries unanimously, recognizing the one abstention of school board member Good.
Mr. Chair?
Before
are we clear?
Yeah. But before we all leave this morning, I'd like to honestly commend everyone that's here, understanding the difficult times we've been on since we were here last month. Our county and our cities have gone through an awful lot and continue to go through an awful lot. But I can say this as one of the mayors in the city coordinating with the others and the school board and elected officials across this county and across the region and actually across the state. We here on the East Coast were spared what could have been significant devastation. And while our world is not returned back to normal as we know it, compared to others, namely the Keys, Marathon and Marco Island and Puerto Rico, we fared well. And while we have pockets of communities in our community that need some more help, I think we've been doing honestly a yeoman's job with assistance from the state and the federal government. Would we like some more? Yes. Would we like some answers as to where we're going on some issues? Absolutely. But I think we also learned a lot from this process, and I really want to commend all of the elected officials in this county, mayors, elected commissioners, council members, on really the coordination and the effort. But it also is in great measure goes to every member that resides in this county, the 1.8 million people who honestly are out there helping their neighbor pick up debris, move debris, clean up this community, because it really shows, regardless of municipal boundaries, we are one community. And at the end, we're acting like one community and we're helping each other. So, and I think in great measure, part of whether it's Mr. Blackwelder's comments this morning, all of these things sort of, we see them by way of land use amendments pursuant to where we're going with Broward next. And it's all about planning for the future. And we know there are some issues that are hitting us now and we'll continue to be here in the future. And it has to do with having smart plans, but also having a smart planning agency like this one that looks out for that. And I think we're being very forward looking. And I look for the second half of Broward next to be as exciting, to get to the nitty gritty of things. I purposely did that for you. So I just want to commend everybody for where we are. And the last thing I want to say is we still can't let our guard down, because it's only the end of September and we still have a few more months and we never know what's going to happen out there. So thank you all for your commitment to be here this morning, understanding some members of the community still have issues with, you know, access and power. So thank you, Commissioner, Vice Mayor Castillo.
Thank you very much. Very, very well stated. Thank you, Mayor, for those comments.
A couple of things that I wanted to say. The first thing is, let us not allow the storm to forget that, and I know the Mayor Seiler may have some additional comments. Terry Stiles passed away, and this was a unique man in our community, and he did an awful lot. He played an important role in the development of Broward County, and his firm will continue to go on, but we're very sad to see him go. At the same time, we're also very sad to see Alan Tinter retire. He gave me his new, he gave me his new business card that says Alan Tinter retired. And it says available 24/7 for fun. And I always thought you were. But thank you very, very, very much for being a colleague, and all the best to you and your family in retirement. So thank you.
Mayor Seiler.
Well, the only thing I want to add, and it's funny you bring that up, because I actually met this morning at 8 a.m. with Mayor Ortiz from Federal Fines.
He's only Mayor Ortiz every 4 years. I'm sorry.
It's a, you know, it's a loss.
Turn your mic on.
Yeah.
Yep.
There we go. It is a loss to the community. I think it's important, too, we recognize, especially what we do here. A lot of times people talk about developers, builders, contractors, and there's a negative connotation. And they say, oh, you know, what are they, they're paving over Broward County, or they're taking an approach that is inconsistent with, you know, good quality living, great quality of life, environmental issues, and things of that nature. And I look at it very differently. I think when you find people like Terry Stiles that build in our community, and there's a handful of developers that have that approach. It's not about just what they build. It's about building community. It's about building a better Fort Lauderdale or better Broward County or better any one of our cities. And I think we need to encourage that, especially when you look at what we're trying to accomplish here at the Planning Council. We need to encourage that. We need to motivate people to do it the right way and do it the Stiles way. And it's a tremendous loss to our community, but I also know from conversations with his company and conversations with other developers that they've taken the approach that, hey, we understand there's a way to do it where it's a win-win. And we see projects come before us, and sometimes we say, you know, not best for the community. But I think when, you know, you see a Stiles project in Pembroke Pines or Fort Lauderdale, you recognize that was very good for the community and it was good for the company. And at the end of the day, it's good for all of our mutual constituents and we have across this county. So I just think we have to kind of reinforce that message as we deal with the Planning Council issues. So Terry was wonderful and be a big loss, but I'll tell you what, he left a great legacy and a lot of people that he mentored that'll carry on his tradition.
It's true. Anybody else? Mr. Rosenzweig.
Just like to comment, having been a commissioner and sitting back now and watching and on this board, the work that all of you mayors and elected officials did in this situation had to be really commended. I don't think the people really realize all that you put forth in the hours and the dedication that's required behind the scenes to activate a program like this. And we don't really have an active hurricane program per se for the county, and some of the cities don't, and catch them by surprise. And I think going forward, having a hurricane plan that's in place where people know what the shelters really are. And I know in my community in Deerfield Beach and Century Village, we don't have an active hurricane plan for people who are stuck there. And the elderly that are in second and third floors, that elevators are shut down, they lose electricity for even a short while, puts them in peril. And so hopefully in our little community, we'll start with that process and work with the county and so forth to put together a real hurricane program that we can be proud of, that we can make sure that things happen like this, because there's, as you say, there's other, a hurricane's gonna come of the same magnitude or greater that we have to be prepared for. And right now, I know we're not.
You know, I can only say this, is I know the debrief after the season among all of the governments. And there is a significant, for those of you that don't know, there is a significant coordination effort that does take place. But there are certain things that, listen, we can all sit at a table and figure out how to do better. And I think that's what we learned a lot here. And one, we got very lucky when Mother Nature decided to blow Irma a little west of us. Compared to Friday morning, where she was coming was not going to be pretty. So even with what we got, there are lessons to be learned, and I know the mayors continue to do that. I know county administration continues to talk about it in consultation with the cities. So I think we will become a better community next time when it happens. Commissioner Williams.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to commend my city of Lauderdale Lakes. We are the We Care City. I carried out more ICE in the whole city than our city staff and commissioners. I found out I didn't even want any ICE by the time the hurricane was over with. But we were able to get through it, and we do have plans now in place so that we can attack this one before it comes up again.
Yeah. No, it's important, and listen, I think the city's learned a lot, particularly with regard to dealing with other governmental agencies, and I won't get into the nitty-gritty of it. So there are lots of things going on with regard to that, and it's listen, in some respects we got lucky and we can learn a lot, and we will. But I want to commend this organization, because when something like that comes, I think part of the things we set up in the way we do things will allow structures to withstand things, will allow have smart planning that will provide for the residents and the businesses that move into those spaces. Mm-hmm. And I think we're being forward-looking about that. So thank you all, and have a great morning. We will see you all next month. Thank